Natural Resources Subcommittee meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, and we're here today for a public hearing and work session on three bills. The one we're going to open with is House Bill 2264 relating to underground storage tanks. And Mr. Rocco, if you could bring us up to date on the bill.
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 2264, I provided you a copy of the bill. LFO's recommendation on dealing with this bill, a fiscal impact that's been updated to reflect changes that were made in the A and Gross bill. And then there's a staff measure summary showing that this bill came from the House Committee on Water and Environment to Ways and Means because of the fiscal impact on the bill. The House Bill 2264 is the bill for the underground storage tank program, and it modifies and establishes certain fees for that program. And I think the agency's here to describe the effect of this. This bill would take the place of a package in the agency's budget, which is package 130. And if you're interested, it's on page 416 of the agency's budget bill.
Questions or comments for Mr. Rocker? The a point of clarification here to the committee: we're dealing with two bills today that both deal with underground storage tanks. This is the one that deals with the gasoline tanks in the gas stations. And with that, if we could have the department come forward and any of the supporting staff that you wish to bring. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Before the record, my name is Helen Lottridge. I'm the Administrator of the Management Services Division at DEQ, and with me today is Sheila Monroe, who is the Manager of the Tanks Program, also at DEQ. I would just like to start by saying that Director Halleck had intended to be here today, but was unable to attend because of an illness in her family, and so I'm pinch hitting for her today. Thank you for that clarification, Chair Morgan, on which tanks this bill deals with. During the fall of 2000, the department did a survey. As you all know, all underground storage tanks were required to upgrade to meet federal requirements by December of 1998. And so we did this survey last fall in order to follow up on the effect of that and to see how how much in compliance the tanks were. And what we found was that 80% of the tanks that we inspected indeed had been upgraded, but also the great majority of tanks, tank owners and operators were not doing the required testing and inspections and maintenance. And for the most part, it was simply because these operators didn't know how to use their new equipment. And so we worked with stakeholders to figure out what to do with this so that we could maintain our investment, significant investment, actually the tank owners' investments in these upgrades, and came up with the plan that you see in the bill that's before you. Primarily, we would use this revenue for inspections and technical assistance and for an owner-operator training program. If you would like more detail on this, or if you have questions on the bill or the program, I'd be happy to ask Sheila to answer them for you.
Questions or comments from the committee members on the bill?
I think we had a discussion on this during the regular.
Yeah, we did.
Yes. Is everybody thinking or interested in asking questions?
Madam Chair, maybe just a short question.
Representative Krieger.
Talking about them not being able to use the equipment, what type of equipment is it? Is it that technical or is it a procedure they have to go through to make it work and be accurate or record keeping? What if that was the problem?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, what we find is all the tank systems can be a little bit different. They have a variety of options. So there's a variety of kind of maintenance activities or standard kind of operating or testing that's required dependent on exactly what type of system they have. So for instance, if they have a single walled steel tank, they need to have a cathodic protection system. They need to test that cathodic system every 2 months. They need to keep records to demonstrate they're testing it. Then every 3 years, they need to have it professionally tested by a licensed service provider. So it was that sort of detail that tends to get dropped, I think, in the operating of the facility.
They just don't get around to doing it.
A mix, and yes, Chair and members of the committee, I think it's a mix.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments? Okay, I have on my sign-up sheet Paul Romaine, the representative from the Petroleum Marketers Association. Paul, if you could come forward and talk to us about how your association feels about this bill being there, the ones that are going to bear the brunt of the fee increase.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Romaine. I'm an attorney in Portland, and I represent the Oregon Petroleum Marketers Association. We love the bill. We love the agency. They did a wonderful job during the interim bringing all the stakeholders together, talking it out. We had the threat of federal intervention basically over our heads. If this program doesn't go into place, the feds actually take over. We don't want that. We worked out a very good system with the EQ. They were a pleasure to work with, and we would highly recommend that you pass this bill.
Questions or comments?
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here today who wishes to give testimony? Please come forward.
Good morning. My name is Mike Sherlock, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Gasoline Dealers Association, and I basically just can say ditto for what Paul said. The original program that the agency came to us, we did not like. We worked with them through the interim and came up with this compromise proposal that we support, and we urge you to pass this.
Questions or comments? Representative Hayden.
Just for background, Madam Chair, I might say that Mike Sherlock is my local gasoline operator. He is the closest to my office, and he is a good community citizen, so what he says has substance with me.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Further comments or questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to give testimony on this bill? I will then close the public hearing on House Bill 2264 and open the public hearing on House Bill 2883 relating to heating oil tanks, these being the tanks that people find in their backyards more often than they want to.
Madam Chair, House Bill 2883, as you've indicated, deals with heating oil tanks. This bill, I've attached an LFO recommendation, fiscal impact that shows the revenue and expenditures associated with this bill, and the staff measure summary from the House Committee on Water and Environment that sent this bill to Ways and Means because of the fiscal impact. You'll note that the expenditure impact is $244,049 for 2001-03, and there's one position with 1.5 FTE total effect on this bill.
Questions or comments for Mr. Rocco? Yeah, I'll call forward Ms. Lockridge again and the support staff from DEQ.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Once again, for the record, I'm Helen Lockridge with DEQ, and I have with me Sheila Monroe, the manager of the tanks program at DEQ. Chair Morgan and members of the committee, the 1999 legislature directed DEQ to form a third-party certification program for these underground home heating oil tanks, and we received $300,000 of one-time general fund in our 9901 budget to fund four FTE for this to create and to administer this program. At the time that we were testifying before the 1999 legislature, we related the fact that we had 1,100 reports in 1998. Just to update you, in 1999 we had 1,400 reports from home heating oil tank owners, and in the year 2000 we had 2,800 reports. This is a very busy program. In the year 2000 we received 8,000 calls of inquiry or asking for help having to do with the decommissioning or the cleaning up of home heating oil tanks. It's very important for us to have fast turnaround time in this program because a lot of these calls are, a lot of these homeowners are in the midst of a, some kind of a property transaction. And so once again, we worked with stakeholders to figure out how best to administer this program and serve the needs of the homeowners. And this, what you see in the bill before you is what we came up with. And if you'd like more detail on that, or if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer those.
Questions? Representative Krieger.
Mayor Morgan, just briefly, maybe I'm missing it. Is it both above ground and below ground? Is there a requirement for either, for both?
Mayor Morgan, members of the committee, our rules only are only for underground storage tanks.
Do you find that this is a problem that is more centered in the urban areas or the rural areas?
Chair Morgan, members of the committee, it's definitely concentrated in the Portland metro area. About 55% of the heating oil tank reports are from Multnomah County. About 90% of those reports we receive are from the Willamette Valley, basically.
Representative.
Just a quick comment. We had the pleasure of being part of one of those a couple years ago. The overall cost was about $5,000. So I don't think a $125 fee is a huge part of the cost of the cleanup. It's a pretty minor thing. But the critical thing, and mine was involved when I sold the house. And it's getting to, especially in North Portland, it's got a lot of older homes that were built before natural gas was readily available. There's an oil heating tank in virtually every backyard. And those, in order to have to be dealt with almost on every property transaction, if they're still in place or just were not decommissioned but just abandoned 20 years ago, they still have to be dealt with in terms of inspections and stuff in order to make the property transaction. Without this kind of a program, if that transaction, if the time slipped back, it would be an incredible hardship in terms of being able to sell a house or buy a house and get the real estate transaction done in a timely manner. So I don't know if this is absolutely the best bill, but it certainly it's vital that we do something and we keep the program going. And
another issue that was raised when we heard this bill in water and environment was the cost to the property owners in paying to have somebody remove the tank. So I believe that there's a loop in the process where the property owners can do it themselves to keep the cost down.
Yes, Chair Morgan, would you like to have a description of that?
Would you be interested in hearing that? Yes. Go for it.
Chair Morgan, members of the committee, by and large, the process is third-party certified, and most homeowners will choose to use a contractor. On a cleanup project, we estimate the average cost is about $3,500 down. A homeowner, if they are in a financial straits, they could choose to do the work themselves. It's fairly hard physical work. It requires uncovering the excavating the soil off of the top of the tank, cutting open the tank, physically climbing into the tank, and cleaning out any residue or muck that's accumulated through the years. And then if they do absorb any evidence that the tank may have leaked petroleum, they're required to take samples. They can get assistance from the department. They'll also get assistance from any labs that they're working for on how to collect samples and having the necessary sampling equipment. the homeowner would then prepare a written report that described, here's the activities I did, here's where I disposed of any liquids or contaminated soils, here's my sampling results, and where I took my samples.
Thank you. Further questions or comments? I have, thank you very much. I have signed up to testify Paul Romaine, Ron Goodman, and Dave Barrows, and if we could have them come forward in a panel right now, that would be very good.
Always my pleasure.
Oh, oh gosh.
That's today, yesterday.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, not so good.
And I'm down to drink after. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Paul Romaine. I'm an attorney in Portland, and I represent the Oregon Petroleum Marketers Association. I just want to reiterate my testimony on the previous bill applies to this one. Again, DEQ was wonderful to work with. We co-sponsored the bill with them. We think this is a good thing to have in place, and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Goodman.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ron Goodman. I'm a contractor with Goodman Brothers, but I'm here today representing the Oil Heat Committee, Advisory Committee on Oil Heat Tanks. And DEQ pretty much covered everything I was going to say, except to perhaps emphasize the number of releases that they had to deal with in the first year. We planned for, as the committee, we had planned four full-time positions to handle 1,200, maybe 1,300 new releases during that that period per year during that biennium, and the very first year they had 2,500, and it continues to grow. I understand we had a banner month in the month of May this year, 290 some new releases, 50 some clean decommissions. But I also want to state that the increase in the number is not because these tanks have just suddenly met their service life. It's an increase because you got contractors. Everybody's coming out to give this a shot and figure they can do it. So you got contractors coming out from all over. So you got people out hunting for this stuff. And DEQ also has to deal with these people, make sure that they know what they're doing, make sure that the customer's getting the job he's supposed to get. So four positions that were designed to do what we thought they would do has got twice as much to do now. So it's very important. We need this.
Thank you. Representative Hanson, would you mind if I allow Mr. Barrows to question the whole panel?
Sure.
Mr. Barrows.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dave Barrows. I represent the Oregon Bankers Association, and I'm also here today speaking for the United Financial Lobby, which includes not only the bankers and the savings and loans, but credit unions, mortgage bankers, mortgage brokers, finance companies, all of us. Strongly urge this subcommittee and the full committee and the legislature to adopt this bill. It is a critical piece of home sales. Representative Hanson referenced that a few moments ago, and he is absolutely correct. If you have a buried underground tank on a piece of property and you're trying to sell it, you got real problems, and until you get the certification that it's been dealt with appropriately. And that's the program that was set up by this legislature last session. It's worked beautifully. The reason that we have the problems is that there's no general fund money allocated to this program this time. And I totally agree with Representative Hanson that the increase in the fee is a very small part of the overall picture. It must be enacted. Otherwise, we're going to have a very chilling effect on the ability of people to sell homes that have these tanks. So we strongly urge you to move this bill forward.
Thank you. Representative Hanson.
Well, just a question. If we're decommissioning or removing 2,500 tanks a year, what's the time? Is there a timeline in terms of is there obviously there's a backlog? How long do you envision this program will go on before this really ceases to be a problem or the volume starts to decrease?
Well, Paul Romaine, Madam Chair, Representative Hanson. There are a number of programs that deal with underground storage tanks, or not underground storage, heating oil tanks. And we have one within the Petroleum Marketers Association, an insurance program that actually, where you can actually be covered for any kind of leaking situation to stay in heating oil. We don't want to see heating oil go away as a fuel. We think, again, as Ron pointed out, that they're sort of a rush right now, but I think you'll see sort of a diminished amount of activity at some point down the line here. I'm not sure where that will come, but it will not go on the way it is right now. Right now, you see sort of increased awareness, increased ability to get jobs, and at some point that will level off.
Representative Hayden.
Well, Mr. Romain, Mr. Barrows, why wouldn't the program, I'm curious about that too, why wouldn't it be around for 100 years? Because if a family holds a house and it passes, stays in the family, why wouldn't 100 years from now, when it finally changes title, somebody would say, well, how about the heating tank?
Madam Chair,
used for 40 years.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, that's right, it should be around as long as there are heating oil tanks and as long as there's a question about the fuel, then the program should be around. Again, there's no general fund here. It's simply our paying for it.
And Madam Chair, to follow up, I have another thought with the looming rate in hydropower and the number of municipalities going to self-contained power, i.e. diesel generators, and all the people that bought generators for Y2K, and when their electric rates triple, are they going to go to diesel generators with diesel storage tanks?
Madam Chair,
that pertains to heating oil, but sure it does, because you can run a diesel generator on heating oil.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, where I come from, we have a saying that says, from your mouth to God's ear. We wouldn't mind an increase in the fuel, people using the fuel, but again, the program itself is designed to ensure those people that we have a safe, clean environmental program, and that's what the program does. It should be around as long as it's necessary, and hopefully there'll be many more tanks out there that we can fill.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is for the contractor and perhaps for the department, and it relates to coordination of DEQ's efforts with this and the Construction Contractors Board, something that you mentioned raised concerns about the potential for less than qualified contractors trying to poach on this business. And do we have enough coordination with the Construction Contractors Board to assure that there are bonded contractors who know what they're doing, so that we're not having homeowners hiring people who don't know what they're doing and creating more mess than we have now? Sir?
Sure. They do have the mechanism to make sure that the bonding and licensing and everything is in place. In fact, that's working very well. What's not in place, and I don't know that there's any way that it can be, is how qualified are these contractors. They're qualified enough to write the check to get their license, qualified enough to get their bond, but do they know what they're doing? Is their interpretation of the rules within the spirit of the rule? And that's where the question lies. This program was designed to allow for auditing of the contractors, and the thought was that would be the control that in time, as this happened, as it was a given that it would, it's like opening the door to the hen house, some of the foxes are going to run in, and we got to control that. Well, the system was designed to do exactly that. Unfortunately, with the workload that they've taken on over this last biennium, they haven't had the funding to do that portion of it. We're hoping that this money, and the program is running rather smoothly now, that with this money, they will get out there and start auditing. They're designed to audit 10% of every contractor's work, which would probably handle it over a period of time, and would have a culling effect in 2 or 3 years, is what we anticipated. Hasn't begun yet, but we're hoping for.
If I could hear from the department, that would help.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. The only thing I could add is Mr. Goodman is correct that we've made processing the reports and doing the final notification notices to homeowners a priority. What we have sacrificed in that is not doing as much field inspection or auditing of the contractors as we'd like to. We've primarily done just paper audits where we do a quick screen of some of the reports that are submitted, but we do recognize that we need to be in the field on some routine basis watching the contractors do the work.
If I want to follow up, if you, thank you, Madam Chair, do you verify that any contractor hired is licensed with CCB?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, they're required to be licensed with the Contractors Board and to have errors and omissions insurance.
Okay. Not a follow-up, but just a comment. If we are indeed moving into a tighter economy, a slowing economy, I spent 8 years on the Contractors Board, and in those periods, we see people rushing to hang a shingle out, don't really know what they're doing, and cutting into the business of legitimate contractors and leaving homeowners stuck with incomplete jobs that then cost, it was $5,000 to do the job right, it cost $10,000 to undo what was done wrong and then do it right. And I just want to make sure that DEQ is coordinating with the Contractors Board to make sure we are doing everything we can to avoid that happening and protecting legitimate contractors from losing business that they should be getting.
I'm really sorry, but thank you, Madam Chair, and my great friend from Portland. I'm just reminded of the fact that my husband, as we speak, is trying to install a kitchen all by himself, and the contractors are just waiting.
We had a saying, that business, only rich people can afford cheap contractors.
Further questions from the committee relating to heating oil tanks? Thank you very much. I will call Helen Levy forward from the Oregon Association of Realtors.
Madam Chairman, was that Representative Krieger that offered the opinion the other day that a situation that we've heard in committee was like a family that was in marriage counseling going into a kitchen remodeling job? I was and I just wondered how close to that situation we were at.
Very close.
Good morning, Mr. Morgan.
Good morning, Chair Morgan, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Harlan Levy, staff attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors. Very brief, we support House Bill 2883 and ask that the committee refer to pass recommendation.
Questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to give testimony on House Bill 2883? I'll close the public hearing on the bill, and we will open our work session on House Bill 2150. Mr. Walker.
Madam Chair, House Bill 2150 was before the subcommittee earlier this session, where we had public testimony provided. There was no opposition to the bill as it was amended in the House Committee on Stream Restoration and Species Recovery. I provide you with a copy of the bill, a staff measure summary from the House Committee, and a fiscal impact. Legislative Fiscal is recommending that we that the committee amend the bill by adding a new section to provide expenditure limitation of $208,280. And as you can see on the fiscal impact, that is the total amount of expenditures related to in the 0103 biennium for carrying out this activity. We are also recommending that the agency be authorized to establish one new permanent position with a net effect of 1.5 FTE, and the reason for the difference is that there is an existing position in the program that would be increased. I'm sorry, it's 1.25 FTE, that should say. For one natural resource specialist 3 position, and then an increasing in an existing program tech 2 position.
Questions for Mr. Rocco? Representative Hamp. Representative Hamp.
Yeah, I would move that we adopt the LFO recommendations amendment to 2150.
We have a motion on the floor. Is there comments or questions on the motion? Senator Duke.
I just have a dumb question, and apparently this is an ongoing fee, so it really doesn't matter, but I'm just curious. How exactly does DEQ charge cargo vessels and tank vessels?
Could we have the department come forward and answer the question?
We send them a bill, or how? They're on their way back to Japan. There you go, right out in the middle of the river.
Madam Chair and Senator Dukes, for the record, my name is Helen Lottridge with the Department of Environmental Quality, and I have with me Paul Sliman, the Administrator of the Environmental Cleanup Program. I'm going to immediately refer this question to Mr. Sliman.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, for the record, Paul Sliman, Administrator of DEQ's Environmental Cleanup Program. Not a dumb question at all, and it's one that 10 years ago we were faced with when we were implementing this program. We employ the services of the Merchants Exchange of Portland, which is here in representation today, but they provide everything to these visiting ships, from dental service to making sure that they get what they need to billing them for any variety of bills.
It's a clearinghouse for everything, and you bill them and they bill them.
So they bill these visiting ships, and then they retain a small portion of the fee and pass the balance on to the department for running the program.
Chair. Representative Hayden.
Well, Mr. Sliman, based on the novels that I have read in my lifetime, I've read about Liberian registry and third country registry and the fact that it's very simple to change dummy corporations and change your flag of registry, and it's impossible to find a ship if they don't want to be found. Is that true?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, I think that that's a very true observation of the industry. We haven't seen a tremendous problem in collecting these fees from the visiting ships. The fees are extremely small compared to other fees that they owe. The Merchants Exchange does agree to pursue the fee, and keep in mind most of these fees are about $25.
Oh, we're not talking about $3 million bills here.
No. The per trip fee was $25, and we're hoping to increase it to $48. So they will pursue. They will bill up to three times before they turn it over to the department, and then we have to decide whether or not we pursue that vessel wherever she may be, all over the world, or we write that one off. And our collections rate is extremely high because the Merchants Exchange does such a good job of billing these vessels.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess I was operating from ignorance, because I was wondering how, if you had a $10 million environmental damage and somebody didn't want to pay it, how you would find them and make them pay it.
That kind of situation may exist if one of these visiting vessels were to have a spill in Oregon's waters. I think the perfect example before you is the new Carissa, where oftentimes the sum total of a company is the vessel itself. That's the extent of their assets. So when the vessel is either on the other side of the world or sitting on our beach, we work with the Department of Justice and, of course, the federal government on how we recover what it's due to the state of Oregon.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Krieger, no? Okay. Thank you very much. We have a motion on the floor to accept the LFO recommendations and approve House Bill 2150 with the two amendments, and send the bill to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Or is there any further comment or question?
That's the only one amendment. The second.
Madam Chair, there is actually only one amendment. The other is the second part of the cover memo. There would be a direction that would appear in the budget report.
Mr. Rocco is exactly right. Okay. Are there any further questions or comments? Are there any objections to the motion? The motion is carried. And carriers, Senator Dukes, would you carry this in full and on the Senate floor?
Sure. Did we just approve amendments, or do we just adopt the bill?
Just approved amendments.
We just approved amendments?
Yes.
We will now vote. I love term limits.
Makes me feel a lot more comfortable.
will now vote on approving the amended bill and sending it to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections to that motion? Hearing no objections, the motion is passed.
Oh, Madam Chair, a question.
Yes.
Are you appreciative of the senior members or
I think that the only thing standing between us and total chaos is the this whole side of the table here.
Chaos, come to the back.
The Representative Krieger, would you carry the bill on the House floor? We will now open a work session on House Bill 2264. And Mr. Rocco, could you give us LFO's recommendation on this?
Madam Chair, House Bill 2264, as was the case in the last bill, I failed to mention it, is a package in the agency's budget for this time, so that package, when we get to the budget, will be taken out. Because of the limitation that's being provided. House Bill 2264 is also a package in the budget. It's package 130. There is a fiscal impact, in this case, of $718,943 for the 0103 biennium. LFO recommends, again, including the limitation language in the bill with an amendment that's provided to you in the memo. There's also five positions that would be established, a total of 4.38 FTE in 2001-03. These include 2.33 FTE that were eliminated in the 0103 budget due to revenue shortfalls. These would be restored, and they're listed there for you. There's another portion of a position that was eliminated two sessions ago due to revenue shortfalls that would be restored. There would be two new permanent NRS 4 positions added to the program, and these would be phased in beginning in July of 2002. So there's a net 1.0 FTE there. And there would be one additional natural resource specialist 4 position, limited duration, that would be used for rural development, and that would be 0.75 FTE in 0103, and then it would go away in the following biennium.
Questions or comments? Representative Nelda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just want to make sure I understand. Mr. Rocco, did you say that the $719,000 in this amendment is a replacement for a policy package in the budget?
There's a, Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, package 130 in the budget anticipated some kind of a fee increase for the underground storage tank program, and this bill has implemented that fee increase. So that package is on page 416 of the budget, the description, and the effect of this bill would make that package unnecessary.
You've read it more carefully than I could possibly do in the next 10 seconds. Are they the same dollar amount?
Actually, I would have to look myself to see if they're exactly the same dollar amount. It's possible they're not, because the fee that was anticipated earlier had been changed in the substance committee, so there may be a slight difference in the total amount. Actually, I believe the budget for this was in the agency's budget was $753,000.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So it's slightly below that.
Madam Chair, with your indulgence, may we ask the department if they're okay with this number?
Please come forward.
Madam Chair and Representative Nolan, for the record, my name is Helen Lockridge with the Department of Environmental Quality. Yes, we're okay with this number.
Fine.
Madam
Chair, I would move the LFO recommendations for the amendment and the budget.
Representative Hansen has moved that we amend the bill to add in the LFO recommendations. Is there discussion on the motion? Are there objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is carried. Representative Hansen.
move House Bill 2264 to full Ways and Means with the recommendations that we have.
Questions or comments on the motion? Objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is passed. And I will carry the bill in full and on the House side, and Senator Farriola, will you carry the bill in the Senate?
Yes, ma'am.
We will open a work session on House Bill 2883. Mr. Rocco.
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 2883 is the bill that was just heard on heating oil tanks. In this case, I also has a recommendation to amend the bill to include expenditure limitation of $244,049 and to establish a one new permanent position with an effect of 1.5 FTE in 0103. And if you see that in the bullet there on the memo, it says restore two. That should just say restore one position. Again, there's an existing position that would be increased under this bill. And on the fiscal impact, you can see that the expenditures for this are $244,049, which is the recommendation for amending the bill. And again, this is a package in the agency's budget. This is package 132, which is in the budget on page 422.
Any questions or comments on Mr. Rocco's recommendation?
Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation and budget language for House Bill 2883.
We have a motion to amend the House Bill 2883 by adding LFO's recommendations into it. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? The motion is carried. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2883 to full Ways and Means with the recommendation to do pass.
Any discussion on that motion? Any objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. I will carry the bill in the full committee and on the House side, and Senator Dukes, if I could prevail upon you in the Senate. Thank you.
Hey, Senator Dukes, an opportunity to present the LEST program again. Leaking underground storage tank.
You'll do me a favor and not point that out on the floor.
No, I won't.
I would ask the committee members to note in your schedules that we do have a hearing scheduled for Friday at 10 o'clock, where we'll be concluding the overview of the ODFW department. So if you could attend that, that would be very much appreciated. And next week we will be busily working on bills. Mr. Rocco, could you outline for us what our schedule is for next week?
The exact schedule hasn't been determined yet, Madam Chair, but there will be several bills, including House Bill 3518, which is a fertilizer bill, setting up a fertilizer program in the Department of Ag. House Bills 2162 and House Bill 3537 dealing with forestry taxation. It's possible that we will be dealing with House Bill 2200, which is a Department of Forestry carbon offset bill.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions on the schedule? Please carve time out to be here. We need your votes. And having no further business before the committee, the meeting is adjourned.